We're on Daf Kuf Yud. We started the Mishnah, and we're up to parallel from on the right side. Agos Hagra. You'll see Nasan Akesev. That's the last piece in the Mishnah that we didn't get up to in the last year. So the Mishnah talks about two Mishmaros of Kohanim, Yehoyariv, and Yedaiah. And now the question becomes, can we, and under what circumstances, can we allow for a split between the monetary penalty that's imposed on this Gazlan and the kapara in the carbon sense? Remember we said that in the parasha, the Torah says, "Im ein la ish goel," if the Gazlan steals from a ger, the ger dies, he has no yorshim. And the Torah says that ha'osham mushav l'ashem l'kohen, the osham, which is referring to the kesef, meaning the keren and chomesh, has to be paid l'ashem, and l'ashem, God transferred over to the kohen, and the kohenim divided up amongst the anshe mishmar. And now the Torah goes ahead and says el akipurim, that in addition he has to bring a karbon osham as part of his kapara. And the question is, what's the relationship between those two elements? Can he split them? Because the karbon he will give to one particular mishmar and the monetary penalty to the other mishmar. So we're going to learn, I think, in this Mishnah the following three principles. Principle number one is that yes, you can split between the monetary and the kaparas karbon, the karbon itself, giving one to one mishmar and the other to another mishmar. However, the sequence is critical. He's got to first deliver the money, and that's a matir, that's a precondition for bringing the karbon. The third principle is that we're going to split between the dinim that apply to the keren and those that apply to the chomesh. The halacha that the sequence is critical, and first the monetary payment has to be delivered to the kohenim, and then and only then can the osham be brought on the mizbeach. That precondition applies only to keren, but not to chomesh. And that's how the Mishnah is going to split between keren and chomesh. So without further ado, let's try to plow through the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nasan HaKesef Lehoyariv. The first Mishmar in this case was called Yehoyariv, and he delivered the Kesef, let's say the Keren and the Osham, I'm sorry, the Keren and the Chomesh, to the first earlier Mishmar. That's going to be Yehoyariv. We're going to see later on that that was a gigantic Mishmar. It was a very large group of Kohanim, and the issue is going to come up, what if there are so many Kohanim in the Anshei Mishmar that when he pays the Keren will be subdivided into so many parts that not one single Kohen will get a Shavah Pruta. I mean, he's got to pay monetary, a Kesef penalty, and Kesef is always Shavah Pruta. In any event, so he delivered the Kesef to Yehoyariv, that's fine, and he did it in the right order. Ve'asham, but then, when it's time now to bring the carbon to Asham, he delivers it Yedaya to the next Mishmeris, the second staff of Kohanim. So he split it into two as far as the Kohanim are concerned. One group of Kohanim, one Mishmeris received the Kesef, the other Mishmeris received the Karban Asham to bring the Asham on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says, Yatza, everything is fine. But now, what happens if he switches the order around? He reverses the sequence. And what does he do? The Gazlan gave the Asham first, Liyahoyariv, to the earlier Mishmar. He hasn't yet paid the financial penalty. He delays the penalty, the Kesef, until Liyadaya, till the second Mishmaris takes over for the first. And that's called Yedaya. And the halach is as follows. Im kayim ha'osham yakrivuhu bnei yedaya v'im lo yachzir v'yavi osham acher. This is a pretty radical chiddush here. The Mishnah says, I'll start with the second case first, because that's where the revolution is. Im lo, if the Ashim was already brought by the earlier Mishmeres, by Yehoyariv, then he cannot just simply pay the monetary penalty to the next group of Kohanim Yedaya. Why? Because then he switched the order around. And in such a case, the Gazlan has to replace the first Asham with a second Asham. It's a pretty big chiddush here. In other words, we're going to passel the carbon because he didn't follow the orders. And the orders were to follow in sequence and first pay the kesef and then bring the asham. In this case, the asham was brought by the earlier mishmeres and then the money was paid to the later mishmeres. The carbon itself is invalid. The gazan is obligated to replace that carbon with a second carbon, the substitute, because the first carbon was brought without, shall we call it, the matir, without the first process, which is paying the penalty. In other words, the carbon has to be postponed until the monetary payment is delivered to the Kohanim. That sort of clears his record as far as Didi Mominus is concerned, and then he can go ahead and bring his carbon. It reminds me a little bit, again, I don't mean to compare them, but just as a memory device, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechta Yuma that Yom HaKippurim is not Machaper until he fixes up Ein Adam Lechavero. Ein Yom HaKippur Mechaper Ad She Mevakesh Mechila. I don't remember the Lashon of the Mishnah, V'Yiratzehu, from his fellow Jews. So here he owes the Kohanim a monetary payment. They stand in place of the Ger that died. The Torah said, you Mishmeres Kohanim will get this Matana. Right there, 24 Matana Skuna, amongst them is the Gezelai Ger, and you will receive that monetary payment. Now the Gazan at least has covered his Chiyuv Hashava in terms of Mammon. Now the way is clear, the pave is clear for him to be Mechaper Ben Adam LaMokom. And Ben Adam LaMokom means for number one, the Gzela, and number two, for the Shvua Sheker that he took. Remember, we're talking about a Shvua. But if he switches the order around, and the Karm was brought prematurely before he paid up his dues, his debts, then it's unbelievable. The carbon is not kosher, meaning the gavra has to be roi lekach in order to bring his carbon, because every carbon relates to the bailin, to the owner of the carbon. Now, generally speaking, the person who is excluded from a carbon, and even if the carbon was brought, it's possible, is something called a rasha. That's called zevach rishon toeva. But here he's not a rasha. After all, he is intending to pay the money. Just he dilly-dallied and hasn't paid it yet. No. Until he pays it, the gavra is not mukshar for the kaparas karbon. However, the Mishnah says, if on the other hand, the first mishmeres, namely Yehoyariv, has not yet gotten a chance to bring the karbon, so the animal that was sanctified for this asham, was designated for this asham, is still alive and well, then what will happen is the second mishmeres, which is Yehodoya, they will receive the monetary payment and then they will be makriv the carbon. So that even though, technically speaking, it's another kiddush of the Mishnah, technically speaking, since at the time that he came to bring his carbon, Yehoyariv was on duty, we would have thought that they made already a kinyan, so to speak, on the whole process. Remember, the process has two parts to it, the monetary and the carbon asham. So that if the money will be forthcoming, then they have rights to bring the asham. But here in this case, the money was not forthcoming. The Gazlan paid the money to the second Mishmeres, in this case, to Yedaya. I may have called him Yehudaya, but okay, Yedaya, whatever the name is, Yedaya. These are good names, by the way, for your grandchildren, if you ever run out of names. I don't know, I haven't, you know, the Israelis come up with new names, but I don't know if a Yehoyariv or a Hodaya. They're a girl's name, Hodaya, but that's a different name.
There's Yariv.
Yeah, Yariv. I never understood that name, you know, it's a very frictitious name. Well, not in terms of the monetary rights to bring the carbon. You see, karbonos have two dimensions to it. One is the kapara, and what the person who wants to be makir the carbon, the bailin of the carbon, wants to, you know, appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu and replace that relationship. But there's also mammon involved. That's why half of Masechet Bava Kamma is kadshim, because kadshim is the overlap between mammon and karbonos. that's what's unique about a korban. The last year we had whole discussions, what happens if the kohen brings his own korban, and can he trump the anshei mishmar and acquire ownership over the korban in terms of the basar, in terms of the or, and what if he's a tamei, what if he's a balmum, and all that we discussed last time. But you see that the monetary dimension of a korban is not to be ignored. It's not insignificant. It's very significant. So you might think that insofar as Yehoyariv was the first Mishmeres, and the Goslin brought his Asham, you know, his little isle that he had now designated for and sanctified for this carbon, now he gave it to the first Mishmeres, maybe they now make a kinyan, not just on the carbon, but even on the mammon, and not just on the mammon, but even on the carbon. And the answer is no. Because that giving over of the Asham to the earlier Mishmeres, the Yariv, is totally invalid. The halacha doesn't even recognize it. It's keman de lesser dummy. It's like Efes v'Evion. Why? Because until he pays up and he squares with his monetary penalty, meaning the Keren, and we'll see about the Chomesh, then forget about the carbon. The carbon is totally invalid. So even though Yariv held on to that carbon, again, I don't know which member of Yoyariv, but one of the members of the family, he doesn't have, through that acceptance of the Karban, a schus in the Keren and the Chomesh. And therefore, since this Karban doesn't register, we now go back to square one, and we start the whole story all over again. Now who's on duty? Hodaya. What's the name again? Yedaya. Okay, we'll get it at, you know, probably, you know, Biz Mashiach type, we'll get Yedaya. So Yedaya is Yedias Kel, I guess, you know, with the Kamate at the end. Yedaya. My brother has six children. All of the six children are boys. And all of his six children have names that start with a Yud and end with a Kamate. So I'm going to tell my sister-in-law, I mean, she may be out of business, but if she, you know, that the seventh child, which clinches Gan Eden, that son should be called Yedaya, okay? But so now Yedaya is on duty. They will receive, number one, the payment, the monetary payment of Keren V'Chomesh, and number two, they will take this Asham and bring it on the Mizbeach. But if the Asham was already Nikra V'Agav Mizbeach, then the Gazlan is going to have to replace that Asham with a second. And now the Mishnah formulates the abstract principle that underlies this ruling. And the Mishnah says, Shehamevi Gzelo. Gzelo means the monetary penalty of the Keren V'Chomesh. Ad Shelo Hevi Ashamo. And as he switched around the order, then Yatza, he can fulfill his mitzvah, because, I'm sorry, I said he switched around the order. What I meant to say is that he fulfilled his order, because he brought his Keren V'Asham and he paid it, Keren V'Chomesh, and he paid it to the Kohanim before he brought his Asham. Then he was Yotzei. But Hevi Ashamo, and the words Hevi Asham means that the Asham was Nikra V'Alkavi Mizbech Ad Shelo Hevi Gzela. He switched around the order, so he doesn't have that preparatory stage that's Machsher him for the carbon. He brought the carbon without the Hechsher, and the Hechsher Gavra depends upon his paying up his monetary penalty. Lo Yotza. It's as if this carbon Asham was not brought on the Mizbeach as far as his Kiyum Karban is concerned. So the Mechaper of the Karban is now completely invalidated, and every Karban by its very essence is meant to be a Mechaper. He forfeits that element of Kaparin so far as he didn't pay up his Gzela before he brought the Karban. However, now the Mishnah adds one other principle to differentiate between Keren on the one hand and Chomesh on the other hand. Nosan es HaKeren velo Nosan es HaChomesh Ein HaChomesh Miakev. Meaning, if the carbon was brought in between, sandwiched, wedged between number one, we'll call it time T1, when he paid up his Keren, and time T3, when he paid up his Chomesh. In the middle, he brought the carbon. The carbon was Nikra V'Agav Mizbeach at time T2. That carbon is Ola. Again, L'chatchila, if all things were equal, the best way of doing it would have been that he paid not only the Keren and the Chomesh, both together first, but in this case, at least he brought the Keren, and that's sufficient. So now, Rabosai, I'm going to read the last line in this Mishnah and translate it in two different ways. And you tell me which translation you think is appropriate. Okay, we'll call it number one and number two. And you'll have to choose. We'll take a vote here. Do we have an odd number? Let's see. No, we have an even number. So I'll make the final. If there's an equal vote, I'll cast the deciding lot. Okay? So here's number one. Possibility number one is the following. Nasan es hakeren, he paid up the keren. Velo nasan es hachomesh, he hasn't yet paid up the chomesh. Correct? And what happens now before he pays up the chomesh? Again, this is according to both one and two. I'm just giving you the background. He brought his what? His asham. Ein hachomesh miyake. Translation number one. We don't care about the asham. We don't care about the chomesh. Translation number two. Ein hachomesh miyakev. We must have the payment of the chomesh. But ein hachomesh miyakev in the sequence as far as the carbon is concerned. But the chomesh is ma'akev, meaning it must be delivered. Which one do you like? The first one or the second? All in favor of number one?
First one.
Okay, how many do we have? Two. All in favor of number two? Okay, so number two seems to be outvoted. Yechiel's on the sidelines. He doesn't want to get involved. Okay, fine. So this is a machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. If you take a look at Rashi, at the very bottom line on the daf, Rashi says, the bottom line of the Rashi's Pirush on the Mishnah, which is about actually 10 or more lines up from the bottom of the page, Nosan HaKeren. Rashi says, Ein HaChomesh Miyakim Milahakvus HaOshem Imlo Nosan Adayim. Notice the karma was brought, and he hasn't yet paid up his Chomesh. Ulabasov Nasan. So Rashi's interpretation, which was the second one that we had, it's not ma'akiv in terms of the carbon being wedged in, and it doesn't upset the sequence, so the carbon is okay, but that's conditional on the fact that at the end of the day he paid up his chomesh. The Rambam says that that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein ha-chomesh mi'akiv, the carbon was brought, it's kosher, fire to Genesis, the story is over, and there's nothing to talk about. And the Mepharshim say that according to Rashi, we have here what's called a Maisa and a Tanai. We have the Maisa of bringing the Karbon, and the Tanai, which will be fulfilled later on, is the payment of the Chomesh. And I think that in a sense, Rashi and the Rambam are battling here on a very fundamental issue. Meaning, Rashi was unwilling to go as far as the Rambam and say that the Chomesh is irrelevant to the Karbon. How could the Chomesh be irrelevant to the Karbon? The Keren and Chomesh are both there, and perhaps even, you know, the Chomesh even more so than the Keren for the sake of Kapara. You know, this is going to prepare him with this extra penalty for his Havas HaKarbon. Now, it could be that once he's already indicated his interest in paying up his Chomos and he's paid at least the principal, okay, we'll let him get away with the Karbon. But at the end of the day, we're going to say to him, buddy, your Karbon is meaningful if and when you pay up the Chomesh. That's Rashi's interpretation. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says that Ein HaChomesh Miyakev. Let's take that literally, Kipshuto, and say that even if he never gets around and he dies before he pays the Chomesh, and his Yoshim don't have to, the Karbon is still valid. Tana Rabbanan, let's start the Gemara. Now keep in mind the Pasuk again. This is very critical. Because the word Asham appears in this Pasuk a little bit out of place. If I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you what the word Asham means, you would say it's referring to what? To the karma. But yet it's out of place because the Pasuk says, with regard to Gezel Ager, Im Ein La Ish Goel La Hashiv Ha Asham Elov, maybe La Hashiv Ha Asham Elov, and then it says Asham Amushav La Shem La Kohen, and then it says Milvad El Akipur Mesha Yechupar Bo. So it's interesting, if you cut this pasuk into half with a resh and a sefer, then you would have expected that the word asham belongs to the sefer, because that's when asher yichaper bo olav, that's the kapara. But instead, to our surprise, and it's really confusing, the word asham appears in the resh of this pasuk, as if to say that this is the payment hamushav, which is going to be returned. And this is what's going to occupy the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring three brises with a statement of Rava. Torah Rabbanan, Asham ze keren. If the Torah is saying about this Asham hamushav lashem, then it must be referring to the monetary payment. It can't be taken literally, and kipshuto is referring to the karvan. And hamushav ze hachomesh. Oh, Eino, you might argue, Ela Oshem Ze'ayil, that the Oshem at the beginning of this Pasuk is a reference to the Karban Oshem, which is mentioned at the end of the Pasuk. And if that be the case, it's very strange that the Pasuk says, Ha Oshem Hamushav Lashem LaKohen. I mean, what do you mean Lashem LaKohen? Lashem LaKohen makes sense if you're talking about the monetary payment that cannot be delivered to the Yarshim of the Ger because he has no Ger, he has no Yarshim, so instead it's Lashem and then Hashem passed it on to the Kohen. But in terms of the Kapar of the Yarshim itself, why would the Torah say that it goes Lashem and then from Lashem LaKohen? And not only that, the end of the Pasuk itself explicitly refers to that. And the Gemara says no. The Asham here, as the Brisa formulates, is referring to the Keren, and the Hamushav is referring to the Chomesh. But then you'll ask the question, why did the Torah call the Keren Asham? Very strange. A monetary payment is called an Asham. We already can anticipate the answer of the Gemara. But first the Gemara takes a little break and says, L'may nafkemina. What does L'may nafkemina mean? If this was a course in Limud HaTanach, and you want to know the Pshat in the Pasuk, then you wouldn't ask me L'may nafkemina. You know, we have to know how to read the Pasuk and translate it. But this is a course in Halacha. And the object of the objective of this Braisa is to teach us a din. So you're asking an abstract question about the Perish in the Pasuk. Does the word Asham refer to the Karban? Does it refer to the payment? May nafkemina. And the Gemara says is an unbelievable nafkemina. If we would assume, like the Havamina of the Braisa, which the Braisa is going to reject, that maybe the word Asham should be referring, as it indicates literally, to the Karban, then lafuke mitarava. We cannot accept the revolutionary sheet of Rava. And I'll tell you why I call it a revolution, because we've never seen this ever in any payment of mammon. Ti amar Rava, Rava says, Gezel Ager, Sheikh Zero Balaila. Now look, Rabosa, when you compensate for a loss that you caused to someone else, either a Ganav, a Mazik, or whatever have you, Piron Cho, there's no difference to Yom and Laila. He's Lo Yatza. Now again, I assume what Lo Yatza means is that he'll get back his money, he'll give it again tomorrow. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that that he has to pay it twice. I don't know. We'll have to think about that, Rabosa. Hechziro lechatzoyin, meaning he gave half at one shot and the other half on the other shot. Lo yotza, my timer says Rava di Asham kare rachmana. The Torah uses the word Asham deliberately to refer to this Karen. Now the word Asham itself indicates a kapara process, and we've said before that insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking this money, and then he gives it over to the Kohanim, and as far as the fact that the money has to be paid up before the Karban is brought, it would seem to be logically conclusive that the payment is not a classical monetary payment. This is not classical Dine Mominus or Chiv Tashlume Momin. This took on a whole nother spin, and it becomes a Kapara. That's why the Torah calls it an Asham. And not only that, says Rava, the dinim that apply to a karban and all those regulations that limit the karban apply ipso facto to the payment of the keren because it's called asham. And therefore, just like you can't bring a karban at night, and you and I might think that's just a technicality because the Beis Hamikdash is closed for business at night. No, that's a psul in the karban itself. And not only that, you can't bring a karban piecemeal. In other words, you can't be makriv part of the carbon and then the other half of the carbon. It's an all or nothing endeavor. So too, with regard to that Tushlume Karen, it doesn't tolerate any payment at night or any split piecemeal payment. It's got to be in one fell swoop like an Asham. Says the Braisa, Kishu Omer Milvad El Akipurim in the Seifa. The Pasuk clearly indicates that he has to bring the Karban Asham. Heavy Omer, therefore I have to conclude as far as the Reish is concerned in that same Pasuk, when it says Asham, it must be referring to Keren Zekeren, and therefore we accept Rav. Tanya Idoch, we have another Braisa, and the Braisa says Asham Zekeren, Hamushav Zekhomesh, O Eino Ela Asham Zekhomesh, I might say that the word Osham here refers to the Chomish because it says Hamushav, and then Hamushav would be referring to the Keren. So we have Osham Hamushav, and that's Keren and Chomish. Oh, Lamainaf Gimino, Lafuki Mimasnisan, this not Nosan lo esa Keren, for lo Nosan lo esa Chomish, ena Chosh miakev. Adarava, Chomish miakev. If the word Osham is referring to Chomish, then it means that the primary kapara of Osham, right? Osham means kapara, is going to be the payment of the Chomish. How can you say the Chomish is any ma'akev? This would be counterintuitive to say that the Keren would be ma'akev and the Chomish would not be ma'akev. On the contrary, when the Torah points to the Osham, the kapara element, it points to the Chomish. So therefore, the Chomish is going to be ma'akev. Maybe the Keren is not ma'akev, but certainly the Chomish is ma'akev. And the Mishnah says, "Nosan es hakeren v'lo nosan es hachomesh hachomesh eino me'ein hachomesh mi'akev." So the Gemara says, "Adarabba, chomesh mi'akev." We should really come to the conclusion that chomesh is mi'akev because the kaparas hakarban depends upon the osham, and the osham is the chomesh. That's all in this Havamina of the Brisa. So again, whereas in the previous Brisa, the Havamina was that Keren v'Chomesh are not considered Osham, and therefore we exclude Rava. There are no regulations that require that you pay up these monies by day and in one fell swoop. Now the Havamina is that Chomesh should be Miakev, because the word Osham refers specifically to Chomesh. So the Gemara says, the Brisa concludes, Kshu Omer, since it says in the beginning of the parasha, in the previous pasuk, it says Ve'eshiv es Hashomo Berosho V'chamishoso Yosef Olav. So you see clearly that the word Osham is not referring to the Chomesh. Havi Omer Osham Zekeren, and the word Hamushav is going to refer to the Chomesh. So now, between these two payments, A. Keren, B, Chomesh, which of the two is called an Asham and has that Kapara element, which requires as a precondition that he pay it up before he brings his Karban, that's going to be the Keren, and therefore the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. But in any event, the final conclusion of this Brisa, like the previous Brisa, and like Rava, is that the Keren is called Asham. Tanya Idach, a third Brisa, Asham Ze Keren, Hamushav Ze Chomesh, Ubegezel Hager Hakosuv Medaber. This third brisa is dealing with is addressing a different issue, a different Havamina Maskana. The issue here is not whether Keren is considered Osham or not, but what is the subject of this parsha? We assume that the subject of this parsha is a Gazlan who stole from a Ger, and he took a shvua to substantiate his claim, and that was a shvua sheker, which later on he confesses, and therefore he's chayav keren osham. Excuse me, keren chomesh and osham. No, says the Brisa, I have a different havamina. Maybe this parsha is talking about someone who steals from a ger, and he's chayav to pay kefa. And the subject here is who does he pay kefel to? And maybe the Torah is coming to Mechadesh that the kefel should be paid together with the Keren to the Kohanim. Oh, Eino Ela Hamushav Ze Kefel. Maybe I would say that we're talking about Beginevas Hager Akosu Medaber, which means that he stole from the Ger died. And now the Ganav has to pay Kefel. And there are no Yorshim to receive that Kefel. So instead, maybe the Torah is teaching us that that Kefel goes to Kohanim. And we'll come back to this Havamina to explain it in just a minute. Kishu Omer Veheshiv is Hashomo Berosho V'chamishoso. And then it says Yosef Olav. Now, the previous Pasuk says that he brings the Yosham Berosho. And then he adds the Chomesh. Harei Mamon Hamishtalim Berosh. Rosh is a word that's always used to refer to Keren and not to Kefel. Rosh means the principal payment, the Kefel is the extra penalty. So therefore, once we have in the previous pasuk that this Asham in the parasha is Berosho, then it must be referring to Keren without Kefel. That's what the word Rosho means. Rosho means without Kefel. But rather it's Keren with Chomesh v'chamishoso Yosef Olav. The pasuk therefore must be talking about Gezel Ager and not the issue of Gnevas Ager, which generates a chiyuv kefel. That's not the subject of this parasha. Now I just want to spend just 1 minute to try to think with you together, what would be the Havamina that the Torah would have said that kefel should be paid in the case of a ger that died to the Kohen? I mean, Bishlam, I understand very well that if we're talking about Gezel Ager, in which the Gazlan took a Shvuah, and that was a false Shvuah, and for that he has to go through an entire Kapara process, then it makes sense that the Torah would say that the Kohanim should now be the recipients of that Kapara payment. Why? Because there are no Yarshim. The process of Kapara includes monetary payment plus the bringing of the Karban. That the right place for that to fall, so to speak, is in the Beis HaMikdash with the Anshei Mishpar, the Kohanim, who are on service. They are the ones who bring the Karbanos. They're the ones who receive Matnas Kahuna. And therefore, their acceptance, their receiving of the Matnas Kahuna should bring about a Kapara, because the Kohen is always going to be the utensil and the Machshir of the Kapara. But if we're talking about Kefel, Kefel is an entirely different kind of story. Kefel is a payment which is imposed upon a ganav to pay twice the amount, an extra 100% of the value of the stolen object. But why would it go to the Kohen of all people? Do you hear? I'm just asking about the Havamina, meaning the Gemara might be just simply going through some sort of process of interpreting the parsha and telling you halacha l'maase how to interpret the parsha, but there really is no Havamina. But I'd like to suggest that this possibility is a very serious one, that just like in Karen V'chomish, in the case of Gezel Ager, the Kohen is the one who receives that payment because there are no Yorshim, so too, in the case of a Ganav, the Kefel should be paid to the Kohenim, and they're going to receive that payment. What sense would you make out of that? Well, what do we call Kefel? Do you have another name for Kefel? If you have to classify it under a certain heading. It's a Knas. Excellent. And what that means is that this is not an element of compensation. When it comes to compensation, my question is a very good one. Why would I have a Havamina that the Kohen should pick up the compensation? He doesn't have to be compensated for anything. But Kefel is a different kind of a Chiyuv. Kefel is what we call a Chiyuv Nesina. What does that mean, a Chiyuv Nesina? You know, normally when you compensate, it's a chiv kabbalah, meaning I have to guarantee that he receives the compensation. But in the case of the kefel, the main thrust of the chiv is the nesina itself, the giving. Because the penalty is on the person. It's not a compensation. When there's compensation, then the main thrust of it is the reception, you know, the receiving end. You know, how do you say in football, every sport, there's always the, what's it called, the quarterback, and then there's the receiver, right? Such a thing? Okay. I'm a little rusty on football. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love football. But there's the receiver. What?
American or English?
I don't know what English football is. I think that's soccer. But I'm sure in every sport, in every country, there's something called the receiver, right? So the receiver is the focus in compensation. He's got to receive his compensation to make up for his loss. You know, how I give it to him, or when I give it to him, or whatever. There are no dinim in Hilchas Nesina. You know, it's not like I have to say Hidni Muchan Mezuman, and there are regulations here. You know, it's not. I just have to guarantee that he gets it, that he receives it. It's like Mishloach Monos. You just make sure that he receives the Monos. I can send it with a cotton, I don't care. But in the case of Kefel, it's a little bit different. The Torah says that he has to give the Kefel. The delivering of the Kefel is the main subject, because it's really on the Gavra, meaning on the person who violated this terrible Iser of Gneva. The Torah says he has to pay Kefel, maybe even Dalet Vehe. And that penalty is for his Avera. So the main thrust here is that he do what he has to do. And if, in this case of Gneva Sager, the Ger is dead without any Yarshim, so we're in a very funny situation. On the one hand, if we were talking about compensation, who cares? You know, there's no one to yarsh in the ger. But if you're talking about a payment that's incumbent upon the ganov, we have to find some way in which he can in a sense, do penance for, is that the word? Penance for his avera of gneva, and for that he has this penalty, this knas, which is called kefel. So the Gemara thinks that we gotta get the ganav to cough up the kefel. Maybe the parsha here is saying that the only way that the ganav could achieve this, you know, this act of penalty, of knas, in order to achieve some sort of absolution for his avera of gneva, he's got to deliver it to whom? To the Kohen. That was
the
Avon.
The purpose is to have a deterrent effect. It's a threat.
Okay, that's a good point also. But I'm saying to deter the Ganav. You know, that's what we're saying. Gneva in general, by the way, is much more chomer than Gzela. And a Gazlan doesn't pay Kefa. And the reason for that is, the Gemara says that in the case of a Ganav, we have to be very careful because people are stealing things all the time. You know, Gzela is when you come to the light of the day and you accost somebody, you know, your money or your life. There are some dregs in society who do that, but that's not what we're worried about. The Torah is more concerned as a deterrent, as Alfie says, in the case of Gneva, because Gneva is all over the place. All over the place. People are stealing. And in the modern era of computers, it's mind-boggling how much Gneva is going on. And the scandals are enormous. And the temptation is great. Because nobody really has to know about Gneva, you know, so it's very tempting to steal. You know, if a person, let's say, has to pay his workers, and he plays around with the money in the cashier, you know, nobody has to know about that, and he's a ganav. So the Torah comes very hard on the ganav. And there's a halam, you know, that maybe the penalty should be paid if there's no other option to the kohen himself. Very fascinating halam. Gufa amar Rava. Gezel ager shechziru b'layla lo yotza, chziru b'chatzoyen lo yotza, my time of the osham kariyei rachmona. A very strange piece of Gemara here, because gufa usually means that we're going to come back to something that we quoted on the side and now focus our attention on. The Gemara doesn't say a word about it, it just repeats exactly what Rava said. V'yomar Rava, gezel ager she'ein bo shava pruta l'chal kohen v'kohen, this nesina of Gezel Ager, of Karen V'Chomesh, has to supply Mamon for every single member of the Mishmar. It's not just a Chiyuv to throw it out and let the Anshei Mishmar fight it out and divide it up. Correct? That might apply, let's say, in a case of Yerusha. I don't know. Well, okay, you know what? Let's leave Yerusha out. Yerusha is a bit complicated. But you may have payments we have to give to a general body, and that body, that communal body, will now divvy it up. That's not how it works here. Here it works out that the Torah was machayev paying a shtickel mamon to every single one of the kohen. You can't single out one kohen. But the trouble is that this group of kohen, and we'll call it Yoyariv, is a very large group of kohenim. And, you know, the mamon is limited. So you've got a payment of 50, let's call it 50 shekel to 100 kohenim in the Mishmar, then every kohen is going to get half of a shekel. Okay, half a shekel is probably a shavu pruta. But let's say it was 100 prutos. It was 50 prutos and there are 100 kohenim. Lo yotza. So what does that mean, lo yotza? So take a look at the last Rashi on the page. Rashi says, l'chol kohen v'kohen shavu mishmar, u'mosif mishalo od lahashlim. Rashi says he's going to have to take out of his pocket in order to be mashlim, to fulfill his obligation and guarantee that each one of the kohen will receive a shavu pruta. Once again, Rabbi Osei, in Hilchas Tashlumei Mamon, in compensation, we never found such a din. Adarava, the din is that if I steal less than a pruta, I don't have to pay you at all, because less than a pruta is not mamon. If I owe you less than a pruta, I don't have to pay you less than a pruta. But here we have a special din. And here the din is that it is an asham. In other words, here again, we're going to put the emphasis on the nesina. And this nesina can only be fulfilled if it's a significant nesina. How does the Torah define a significant nesina? It's by the minimum shear of a pruta. He's going to have to dig out of his piggy bank, you know, whatever money he has to take in order to be mashlim, and see to it that every kohen gets a pruta. Hopefully he'll have the wherewithal of doing that. You know, imagine if there were a million kohenim in the Mishmar, you know, a million times a pruta is a lot of money. Some of the richest people in the world made their money on a shavu pruta. I forgot who was this guy who was selling needles when the when they first came out with this sewing needle that had a very small hole in it. Guy was a multi-billionaire, and he used to sell an entire what do you call it, magoles, of igule dvela of these little pins for a nickel, for 5 cents. but that's how he made his money. You heard of Max Stern? Yeah, Max Stern made his money at Hearts Mountain. Yeah, with food for parakeets. Yeah. I mean, he was one of the, I think he was one of the five richest Jews in five richest people in America. I know some ladies who went to a college that's named after him. It's called Stern College. Yeah. I remember when his grandson was in Ramaz, that's Lenny Stern's son, the security was mind-boggling. You couldn't go near the building unless you had all the credentials of the world, because they had to protect, Kashon, you take a loop. Mitch, did you want to say something?
I was just wondering if we had any idea how many Kohanim were in a general Mishmar.
Well, the Gemara is going to tell us in a minute that it doesn't give any numbers, but Yo Yarev was a very large, large Mishmar. More than that, I don't know. In the Kinnis that we say on Tisha B'Av, we mentioned some of the various Mishmaras, but even there, I don't think the Kinnah tells you about numbers. So in any event, let's see what happens. My timer. First of all, we want to understand the logic of Rava, and Rava's answer is the Chsiv. He derives from the pasuk Ha'asham Hamushav. In other words, it's not just an asina to make sure that the certain sum, whatever he stole, that value is set in stone and it has to be returned, and it's just a simple Chovas Hashava. But no, he says Hachiyehe Hashava L'chol Kohen V'Kohen. In other words, the Torah went out of its way to add that word Hamushav in order to emphasize that you need a hashava of a shava pruta, and that's for each one of the kohanim. Boy, Rava asked the following question: Ein bo l'mishmeres yo yorav was so gigantic that there's no way that he can pay up this keren and guarantee that each one of the manifold kohanim would receive a shava pruta, but Yeshbo l'mishmeres yedaya. The subsequent mishmeres has a very small number of members to it. Mahu, does he have rights to say, instead of digging into my pocket and making up the difference, I'm going to wait until yedaya takes over, and at that point I'm going to be able to pay the exact sum that I have to pay, because that'll guarantee that each member of yedaya will indeed receive a pruta. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not sure, I'm just introducing the next piece of Gemara, I'm not sure why the Gemara is bothered by this. I mean, who says that, okay, Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvus, but who says that Yo Yariv has absolute rights to this payment, and the Gazlan has no right to delay it until Yedaya comes along? I don't know why. Oh, so Gemara says, Hei Chidomi. What exactly is the case that Rava has a suffix about? And in fact, it's going to be an Ibai de lo Ifshita. Elema, if it's a case, the Yaive Liadaya, Bimishmeris Yadaya, if the Gazlan returns the money, the Karen Vachomesh, to the Mishmeris of Yadaya, at the time in which the Mishmeris Yadaya are working in the mizbeach, they're on duty in the Beis Hamikdash, and they will bring the asham. So in that sense, he has now an integration of both the monetary payment and the karbon to one mishmeres. Is ha'ispeh. So if that be the case, ispeh means that there is a shava pruta for each kohen who works in that mishmeres of Yedaya, and therefore for sure milsa de pshita yotzi yidei chovasa. Lo tzricha, what was the suffix of Rava? It means that there's a split here. What's the split? Diyave liyadaya bimishmarto diyahoriv. In other words, Yedaya has not yet taken over the service in on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. At this present moment, when the gzela is being given to Yedaiah, who's on duty in the Beis HaMikdash? Yehoyariv. Now it's a funny kind of situation because you're really, what word am I looking for? You are undermining, that's not the word I'm looking for, but you're undermining the rights of Yehoyariv. Meaning, at this point, Yedaiah is not a Kohen in the Anshei Mishmar. When it says Lashem LaKohen, it doesn't refer now to Yedaiah. Because at this particular moment, when he, the Gazan, delivered the money to the Mishmeres of Yedaiah, they weren't yet on duty. Do we see some sort of potential that since in a day, in a week, or in a month, they are going to take over, that they already have rights as Kohen, are included in the status of Lashem LaKohen? My. What are the two sides of the coin here? Me, Amrin, should we say came to Lav Mishmartahu Velo Klumu? At this point, the members of Yedaiah have no status whatsoever because their Mishmeres hasn't even begun yet. And therefore this is not called a Hashava. He's got to bring back and guarantee that each one of the Kohanim on the Anshei Mishmar receive at least a Shava Pruta, and therefore the Mishmeres that's on duty, which is Yoyariv, they have rights to this Kesef. You can't just jump over them and anticipate Yedaiah. And not only that, the Korban Asham, for sure Yoyariv is going to bring, because they're the ones who are functioning on the Mizbeach. So together with the Korban Asham, the payment should be given to Yoyariv, and if each Kohen will not get a Shava Pruta, tough luck. That's the Gazan's problem. O Dilma, what should we say? Kevan de lo chazile me kara li yedayakai. Now the way I'm going to try my best to explain this, and I'm not sure what I'm going to tell you is correct, but this is the way I understand the Gemara. The Gemara wants to say the following, that even though Yedaiah is not yet on duty, but nevertheless, if certain dimensions of the Avodas HaKohanim cannot be implemented by the present, current Mishmeres that's actually run, up and running, that's actively working, you know, the Avodah in the Mizbeach, namely, if there's some dimension of the Avodah that Yehoyariv is not capable of implementing, then Meikara, at this point already, the next Mishmar has a status. Now, what I'm trying to suggest is the following. There are many different ways of understanding the root of this suffix, which the Gemara ends with a take. One way is to say that the Gemara is clearing back and forth whether Yedaiah has any rights. Another way of explaining the suffix of the Gemara, of Rabbah, is to say that the Gemara is clearing back and forth as to whether or not the first Mishmeres that's on duty now, namely Yoyariv, they have exclusive rights over not only the Karban Asham, but also over the payment, insofar as we see that as one unit of Kapara. That's another way of learning the Gemara. The language of the Gemara, I think, would seem to indicate that the Gemara wants to know who's considered the Kohen vis-a-vis this particular dimension of the Avodah. And the Gemara wants to suggest in the second side of Rav Sofik that maybe Yehoyariv is not considered on duty because there's a certain specific payment and that payment cannot be paid to Yehoyariv. And that's where Yedaiah becomes now the shuin, or the second, you know, the on deck Kohen, already now. Because already at this moment I can determine that this gzela should not be given to the Mishmeres of Yoyariv, but rather to the Mishmeres of Yedaiah. So even though right now who's currently up and running, which Mishmeres is active, it's Yoyariv, but nevertheless we see Yedaiah already now as if they were the Anshei Mishmar before. The other way of saying it is that no, this din that the later Mishmar, the Mishmar of Yedaiah now can step in, that doesn't make any sense. It's not kaved de lo chazile. You can't say Yo Yariv is lo chazile. Yo Yariv has a right to demand that every member in their mishmeres should be guaranteed a shava pruta. And if the gazlan has to make up the difference, that's his tough luck. It's not the lo chazile. So again, there are many ways of understanding what the Gemara is vacillating about. Is the Gemara vacillating about the rights of Yo Yariv to the mammon? Insofar as Yo Yariv is the mishmar, as far as Avodas HaKarban is concerned, they're the ones who are bringing the kapara for the Bailim, and therefore the payment here is kapara. Or no, maybe we could split and say, as far as the payment is concerned, Yo Yariv have no rights to that payment, and that's what the Gemara is going back and forth on. The other way of saying it is that no, the question is whether Yedaya can receive this payment when they're not in the Anshei Mishmar. And the third way of explaining the Gemara's Safek is to say that the Gemara doesn't understand what's the status of a very large Mishmeres which will obligate the Gazlan to take out of pocket in order to make up for the Shava Prut.
There's a time factor involved. I mean, it should be very clear, either yes or no. Unless you're saying it's Ben Shmoshas, and you know, we have the problem to Ben Shmoshas now.
So well again, Alfie, you're on the first side of the Gemara, so that's good. Mm-hmm. But what's the second side of the Gemara? The second side of the Gemara is we're not in Ben Shmoshas yet, but if there's a dimension of the Havas HaKarbon, which the Kohen who's in the Mishmar cannot serve, then automatically at that point, the next in line Mishmar gains rights to that Avoda. So that even though we're not even up to Bein HaShmashis yet, and you know the Mishmeres of Yedaya are on decks, but they're not there in the Mishkan, nevertheless, they already have rights to that avodah insofar as they can do what the previous mishmeres cannot do.
Because they're muhzak of the money.
No, because the sum of money is limited. Meaning, for some reason, again, this I can't explain at this point, but the Gemara understands that the halacha that we said before, just to use the Gemara's language, Rashi's language, Mosif Mishalo, Rashi says, Lahashlim. That halach of Mosif Mishalo Lahashlim is not the Iker Chiyuv. I would have said that's the Iker Chiyuv. Your Chiyuv, when the Torah says, you know, Ha'osham Mushav Lashem LaKohen, means to make sure that every Kohen gets a Prutan. If that requires Tosefes Lahashlim Mishalo, Sheyeshlo Lahashlim Mishalo. The Gemara doesn't understand it that way. The Gemara understands that basically the chiyuv on incumbent upon the gazan is to pay X. Let's say the cow that he stole from the ger was worth 100. That's what he has to pay. However, there's a secondary halacha. We'll call it an emtza'i. We'll call it a t'nai, and that t'nai is that every coin has to go home happy. He's got to receive Matnas Kahuna, and Matnas Kahuna is a minimum of what? Sure. Of a Shava Prut. But that's a secondary halacha. Mm-hmm. And the way that the halacha operates as to who, which right. Mishmeres has rights to that money, will depend upon A, or the fallback position B. The A is the primary chiyuv, and if the primary chiyuv excludes one particular Mishmeres because they have such a large number of Kohanim, then automatically the next Mishmeres fills in and replaces them, even though they're not officially yet on duty. I would have said, if not for this Gemara, Meichetesi, why come up with such a Svara? It would seem more logical to assume that the Chiv that the Torah imposes Lashem LaKohen is to make sure that each Kohen gets a Shava Pruta. Now, the way you actually organize that, that's your headache. But the Torah says that's your Ikar Achiv. And if that's your Ikar Achiv, then pay to your Yariv. Vosefis, where's your diet coming into the picture? It's not even Beit HaShemashis. But the Gemara thinks no. And I'll read to you the comment here of Rashi. Rashi says, Kevan de lo chazile. Rashi's saying that at this point, he's lo chazile. Why is he lo chazile? In other words, what do you say?
It's not Hashava.
Because the Chiyuv Hashava in its primary state is to guarantee Hashava on the cow. Not to guarantee a Shavah for a Shavah Pruta for each Kohen. And therefore, lo chazile, this mishmeres is not roi at the time of the gzela to be paid up the keren v'chomish, because there's no way you can guarantee that every kohen will get a shavah pruta as far as the ikar chiyuv is concerned. Okay, Rabosai. How are we doing on the clock? Because, not too good. Okay, Rabosai, you got to give me a few minutes. The Mishnah in Masechta Menachos, which we're about to study, tells us that every karbon has to be divided equally amongst all the kohanim and the anshei mishmar. And the Mishnah derives that in Masechta Menachos from the pasuk that it says, "Vayikra Zayin." We'll read it in about a week and change. V'chol mincha belula b'shemen v'chareva l'chol bnei Aaron tia ish ke'achiv. So ish ke'achiv means that we have to divvy it up amongst all the kohanim and the anshei mishmar. Boy Rava wants to know what happens in the case of gezel ager, because gezel ager is a monetary payment, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, besides the carbon, but we're talking about the keren v'chomesh. So kohanim maushi echalku gezel ager keneged gezel ager. Meaning, let's say there are two people, right? Reuven and Shimon. Each one is chayev to pay gezel ager, keren, and chomesh. Can the kohanim work out a deal amongst each other? In other words, I'll take Reuven's gezel ager, you take Shimon's gezel ager, and the kohanim will organize this amongst themselves. If it would have been an asham, then the Mishnah in asham says that the asham has to be divvied up amongst all the kohanim. And there's no room for the kohanim stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what, we'll make a deal. You take this guy's mincha, I'll take this guy's asham. You take his chatas, and I'll get his shlomim. They can't do such a thing. It's got to be divvied up ish ki yachiv. But here, maybe it's different, because here, we're not talking about a karbon, we're talking about a monetary payment. So maushi chalku gezel, gezel ager, keneged gezel ager. Let the kohanim organize this, work it out, you know, some sort of fair distribution amongst themselves. Or should we say no? That in this case, they can't divide up the gzela. You know, one kohen takes the gzela and the other takes the other gzela. Why? Because mi amrina, we should say, asham kari rachmana. We go back to the principle that we discussed at great length earlier today, that when the Torah describes the payment of this keren v'chomish, is described as asham, and therefore it has the same dinim of a karban asham. Ma asham, just like in the case of a karban asham, ein cholkim asham keneged asham. The kohanim have no right to say, you, Yankel, you'll take one asham, and Beryl, you'll take the next asham. No, they can't do that. It has to be equally divided amongst all the anshei mishmar. Af gezel, so too in the case of gezel ager, ein cholkim gezel ager, keneged gezel ager, o dilma, gezel ager, mamonahu. Gezel ager is to be treated as mamon, and therefore, the kohanim can divide it up any way they choose. You take this gezel ager, I'll take that gezel ager. And when I saw this, I couldn't believe the suffix of the Gemara. I mean, is the Gemara going backwards here? We've already established that the payment is called an asham. Hadar pashte asham kari rachmon. And therefore they don't have rights to divvy it up. But I don't know what the havamina was. And Rav Acha Berei de Rava says, Masi lebehej, I have an explicit brisa. And the brisa says that in the case of gezel ager, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Rav Acha Berei de Rava Masi lebehejo. In other words, he doesn't have the tradition that we had, that Rava was vacillating back and forth about that. Behejah mean Rava was crystal clear from the get-go. He never had a suffix. Omar Rava Kohanim Ein Cholkim Gezel Ager Keneged Gezel Ager Maitaima Osham Kari Rachmanis. So even though I breathe a sigh of relief in the final maskana of the Gemara, because that maskana will reflect everything that we've said over and over and over again, namely that this payment is not just compensation, but it has the status of an asham and a kapara, and therefore the laws that govern asham should govern this. So, but what was the hava mean? That's what bothered me a little bit. But the truth is that we're going to have to say there are two dimensions to the payment of Karen V'Yosham, because we've already established that the Hashava here requires a Shava Pruta, and that each Kohen in the Mishmar is going to have to be a recipient of at least a Shava Pruta. So we do see that there's definitely a dimension of Mammon. So perhaps we could say the following. There's the Nesina, the Chovas Nesina, and then there's the Cheftzashal HaMammon, meaning the Nesina itself is a Nesina B'Toras Osham. And therefore it's got to be given during the day and not at night. It has to be given in one fell swoop and not piecemeal. But what does he actually give once you've established the nature of that Nesina as an Osham? That's called Mammon. And the nafkamina is that, number one, that Mammon has to be received as Mammon by each member of the Anshei Mishmar, which means the Shavu Pruta. Number two, that Mammon, insofar as it's delivered to the Kohanim, the Kohen can decide amongst themselves, work it out, how they want to bounce it around. You know, you'll take this, I'll take this, and so forth and so on. Like in Chalukas HaShutfim, you know, one Shutf takes this, another Shutf takes that. So if Chalukas HaShutfim is my paradigm of splitting up money that everybody deserves to get a piece of that money, so too, insofar as the Hefta of Mammon of Karen V'Chomish is concerned, if that's defined as Mammon, then basically the Kohanim should be viewed as Shutfim, who are divvying up that Mammon. And I could take the mountain, and you take the valley, and so forth and so on. So that's the way we'll divvy it up. You take Reuven's Gezel Ager, I'll take Shimon's Gezel Ager, and that should be fine. The Gemara says no. That even within the context of the Nesina itself, B'Toras Asham, requires a Nesina to all the Anshei Mishmar. And that's the halacha that Asham teaches me. Asham cannot be divided up, you know, and make a quid pro quo agreement amongst the Kohen. The Asham belongs to the Anshei Mishmar as one Harkava Mizgit, as one entity. And therefore, they have to receive the Asham, and then each chelek is given to another Kohen respectively. But if we decide that, and that's going to be the maskonas asugya, that Karen V'Chomish, in the case of Gezel Ager, is likewise Asham, the Torah called it Asham, then, once again, it's being paid to the Anshei Mishmar as a new entity, as a unit unto itself. There's no rhyme or reason to allow any particular Kohen to say to another particular Kohen, let's divvy it up the way we want to. It's not like Chalukas HaShutfim, because in Chalukas HaShutfim, basically we're establishing that this moment belongs to one person and this to the other person. But in the case of Asham, the Torah says, Ish Ke Achiv, and Ish Ke Achiv teaches me that they all have to receive the Asham together. What time is it? 1:15. Okay, Rabbi Sal, I wish you all a great, great Shabbos. And if it's Hashem, we nether on Monday, we'll pick up, not Monday, but Tuesday, we'll pick up Boy Rava and we'll try to make some progress on this. Okay, I just have to make a note. Where is this boy?
Don't steal from a gear, and if it's stolen from him, make sure he doesn't die. יכול להיות כל הראוי לבילה?
כן. מה זה קשור לענייננו?
זאת אומרת, שאם יש מספיק כסף בשביל להשיב לכהן, כמו ש...
אני רק אפשר...
שהוא שם שמן במנחה, הוא לא חייב שזה הרבה את השמן שיגיד
לו. כן, 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 אני יודע מה זה, אבל מה זה שייך לענייננו? לא, אני... לא עומדים לזלות את זמנו אחרי זה
עכשיו. שיכול אולי, הוא צריך סכום כסף מספיק גדול, שיהיה ראוי לתת לכל כהן וכהן פרוטה, אבל אולי הוא יכול לתת את זה לכהן אחד אפילו, אבל שיהיה בו סכום כזה שזה יכול גם להגיע לאחד, כמו שאת השמן הוא שם רק במקום אחד, הוא לא בלעל את זה.
אז זה גוף ההלכה שנתחדשה פה באושם, שאני לא אומר כל הרוי לבילה, דהיינו שהאושם מגיע לכל המשמרת ביחד, כחטיבה אחת.
אבל לא כולם יכולים לאכול את זה.
מבחינת כזית, אתה מתכוון? זה כבר סוגים במסכת איומה, נדמה לי. לגבי לחם הפונים, שכל כהן במשמע קיבל כפול הלמות.
אז גם פה יעשו על כל השם כזה יעשו. עכשיו כוח.